Hey guys, thanks for joining us on Real Faith Radio, presented by Praise Chapel Las Vegas. Subscribe to us on Apple and Google Podcasts, SoundCloud, and Spotify to get notified when new episodes are available to download or stream. You can also follow us on social media at PC Las Vegas and visit our website, praisechapellasvegas.com, to find out more about us and give online. Thanks again for joining and enjoy today's message.
Do you
message.
Get a boom boom? Keep adding it on. Well, you guys are funny. Good evening. Thank you, pastors, for the opportunity to minister today. I'm super excited. And we'll just go ahead and get started. I'm going to just open with a prayer from Psalms 119. I'm having our armory group pray over that. So we're just going to open up in prayer, and I'm just going to read from Psalms 105 to 112 in the middle of that prayer. So, Father, we thank you for this evening. Holy Spirit, we thank you for leading and guiding your word. Your word is a lamp to our feet, a light to our path. I have sworn and confirmed that I will keep your righteous judgments. I am afflicted very much. Revive me, O Lord, according to your word. Accept, I pray, the freewill offerings of my mouth, O Lord, and teach me your judgments. May my life continually be in your hand, yet I do not forget your law. The wicked have laid a snare for me, yet I have not strayed from your precepts. Your testimonies I have taken as a heritage forever, for they are rejoicing of my heart. Let me incline my heart to perform your statutes forever to the very end. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. That was a good prayer. You can take it if you want, because it's available to you. Have a Bible as well. Hopefully you have a Bible. Amen. So we're going to go ahead and start in Matthew 18. We're just going to kick off our word. And I'm going to read in chapter 18 in the New King James Version 1 through 5. At that time, the disciples came to Jesus saying, "Who then is the greatest in the kingdom of heaven?" Then Jesus called a little child to him and set him in the midst of them. And said, "Assuredly, I say to you, unless you are converted and become as a little child, you will by no means enter the kingdom of heaven. Therefore, whoever humbles himself as this little child is the greatest in the kingdom of heaven. Whoever receives one little child like this in my name receives me." Julie, can you come here? Okay, we're going to do a little example. I'm going to do a Jesus thing right now and just copy him. So this is Julie, and she is 7 years old. I gave my life to the Lord when I was eight, so maybe a little. She's about to be eight, so we can just call you eight, right? So can you see the difference? We look almost identical, so just imagine 20-something years ago, 20-something years ago, that this was me, okay? So it's funny. Stay up here for like 2 minutes, okay? Okay, thank you. As the Lord's life was coming to an end on earth, and the disciples were beginning to become aware of that, there was questions about who and what was going to happen next. And the verse 1, it says that the disciples came to Jesus and they said, "Who then is the greatest in the kingdom of heaven?" And Jesus did the Jesus thing, which is usually the unexpected thing. And he calls a little child and he sets that child in the midst. Then Jesus explains to all these really great men, these men that we read about, these men that we seek knowledge with, these men that we look for wisdom in by reading the word, right? He looks for them and he says, "Well, unless you become like her or him, not only will you not be great, but you also won't enter the kingdom of heaven." Thank you, Julie. Everybody give Julie a hand. You can go back to coloring. See, this is an interesting thing that the Lord has had my mind on this year. And really, this is something that ought to stop us in our tracks as adults. Because what we're doing isn't working. And we need to begin to gain exampleship from children. Now, this is not to come into contradiction with 1 Corinthians 13:11 that says, when I was a child, I spoke like a child. When I, you know, and I understood as a child, but then I became a man and put childish things away. That scripture is not putting away with children. That scripture is putting away with childish behavior like gossip, malice, anger, etc. And talking about maturing in spiritual maturity with the Lord. And that word is for the church. It's for the Corinthian church. And if the shoe fits, it's for you. But the shoe that we're putting on today, the shoe that we're putting on is talking about blind obedience, faith, humility, and a deep hunger for God. And encountering the Lord like a child. So that's my title, if you want to write that somewhere. Encountering the Lord like a child. Is this mine? I think so. It is now. So I've learned a thing or two about being a mom, about children. My son's 20 months now, so I've learned a couple things. About babies and toddlers. I learned that there's not a lot that doesn't make them happy, you know? I go walk into the room and he laughs. I say, peekaboo, we can do this for hours. We play hide and seek for hours. My heart is like, ba-doom, 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 and he's just getting started, okay? You put on a good song and he's ready to go. There's not much that he's not entertained by. Now, on the flip side, I know of three things that will really tick him off, okay? Three things that will drive my son bananas. One, being tired. Two, being hungry. And three, for lack of a better word, being soiled, okay? Needing a diaper change. And so, thank you, Pastor Vic. When I was processing this with the Lord, I felt really strongly about looking to encountering the Lord this year. And the Lord has been reminding me to look at my son, right? When he's tired, he's upset. So you and I have to be tired of the same old, same old. When he's hungry, he's even more upset. And you and I have to be hungry for his presence and wanting and desiring newness in our life and in his spirit. Three, he doesn't like to sit in his poopy diaper, okay? So we shouldn't like to sit in our stuff, okay? We need a diaper change, and we need to be okay and looking forward to taking that off and getting new garments, not going back to the vomit in which we came. 1 Peter 2:2-3 says, as newborn babies, desire the pure milk of the word, that you may grow thereby if indeed you have tasted that the Lord is gracious. You and I as Christians, we require proper spiritual nourishment. And if we are to grow in spiritual maturity, this nourishment is to be sought or desired with the same intense eagerness exhibited in a very young infant who's looking for a feeding. Now, I don't know if you dads know this, but I know most of the moms, all of the moms, I can probably say, have dealt, who have a little bit of, you know, PTSD from that scream that happens when you're not getting the bottle fast enough, okay? You are not getting food to the baby's mouth fast enough, and he is losing his mind, okay? Anybody, can you relate to this? Moms, okay, you can't, my husband, you can't get it fast enough to their hungry, desiring bellies. They have an intense eagerness for milk, and you are in the way. They want that milk. So I wonder tonight, as we begin to dive into the word, how many of us are finding ourselves in a place of hunger with God that has you on your face with intense eagerness? Or have we just been satisfied with Sunday to Sunday and we've replaced him in between? We ought to find ourselves hungry like children for the pure milk of his word and of his presence. So let's go back to Matthew 18:4. And let's read just that one verse. It says, "Therefore, whoever humbles himself as a little child is the greatest in the kingdom of heaven." The Lord is looking for hungry people and humble people. The Lord is looking for humility like a child in you and I. You see, we go to Isaiah 55:8-9. I'll read this really quick. "For my thoughts are not your thoughts, neither are your ways my ways, declares the Lord. For as the heavens are higher than the earth, and so are my ways higher than your ways, and my thoughts higher than your thoughts." Living this scripture is a humble lifestyle. This is a childlike lifestyle. Blind obedience, faith lifestyle. This is what humility looks like walking in our life. Saying, "Not my ways, but your ways. Not my thoughts, but your thoughts. Because your ways are higher than my ways and your thoughts are higher than my thoughts." And that is humility. That's living a life of humility. Not wanting to live in independence, but wanting to be dependent on the one who is holy. So we have to live that lifestyle as a child. And if we want to encounter the Lord, we have to do that with blind obedience. When I tell Noah to, you know, "Let's go." I don't have to say anything out. "Let's go. We're going somewhere." You know, he doesn't tell me, "Well, who are we going with, Mom?" You know, not only he can't put that many words together, but even if he could, you know, "Where are we going?" You know, he says, "Shoes, shoes." And he just walks around looking for his shoes. "Shoes, shoes." Because he has blind obedience. He doesn't know where I'm going. He doesn't really care where I'm going. He just knows wherever you're going, I got to get my shoes on. So I'm ready. Let's go. But it's really interesting. The Lord was giving me this revelation with this specific one. It's really interesting because as we get older and we become adults, we replace and we disguise disobedience with wisdom. Pastor talked about this a couple Wednesdays ago when he talked about, you know, "Lord, if the numbers line up, I'm going to quit my job." And wisdom keeps him, wisdom, like human wisdom, keeps him in disobedience. Because he says, "Well, it's not lining up, Lord." And the Lord didn't ask you if it was lining up. Right? He didn't ask you about that. So we can get to this place as adults where we say, "It's not wise to do this, this, and this. It's not the best thing to do this. I can't do this. It wouldn't be wise." But really what you're doing is disguising disobedience with your own human wisdom. Amen. You guys love me still. And it's really, it's disobedience that requires repentance, because we can't continue to live. We're not living in my ways and your ways and your thoughts. You're living in my ways and my thoughts, and that's disobedience. We're living in a prideful nature that we need to strip off and repent from, and we need to live in a blind obedience, faith-like nature with the Lord. So don't be deceived in your wisdom, right? In your own wisdom. Because not following the Lord is disobedience. Now, too many of us make these decisions in our own understanding, in our own dependence, but the Lord is looking for us to encounter him like a child in complete dependence on him. How can the Lord show you he is Jehovah Jireh, Rapha, and Nisi if you keep Jehovah things your own way? I thought that was funny. That made me laugh. I made that one up. It's been copyrighted. Don't steal it. It's mine. Anyway, Jesus used children as an example of faith, trust, and humility, which means to put oneself under God's authority, and that is the requirement to be a part of his kingdom. To encounter the Lord like a child is to put yourself under that authority. Though we must decrease and he must increase. We need to be hungry like a baby with intense eagerness, and we need to be willing to decrease to see him increase. And also, we need to have a holy discontentment, such as a baby in a soiled diaper. So let's go to Genesis 25. I'm jamming through this, you guys. It's going to be a quick, easy night. But it's meat, so chew. Chew and swallow. We're going to go to Genesis 25. I love how I'm scrolling, but I know it's in the front. I don't know why I'm doing that. I'm like, where are you? But I know it's in the front. That's funny. Sorry. Huh? Okay. I'm always amusing myself. Okay, we're going to go to chapter 25, and we're just going to read down from 21 to 26. Now, Isaac pleaded with the Lord for his wife, because she was barren, and the Lord granted his plea. And Rebekah, his wife, conceived. But the children struggled together within her. And she said, if all is well, then why am I like this? So she went to inquire of the Lord. And the Lord said to her, two nations are in your womb. Two people shall be separated from your body. One people shall be stronger than the other, and the older shall serve the younger. So when her days were fulfilled for her to give birth, indeed, there were twins in her womb. And the first came out red. He was like a hairy garment all over, so they called his name Esau. Afterward, his brother came out, and his hand took hold of Esau's heel. So his name was called Jacob. Yeah. So this is the story about Jacob and Esau, right? Twins. One came out a little before, right? And Jacob was right behind him. So being born first, Esau was granted the larger part of the inheritance or the headship of the family. Now, giving a quick synopsis of this story, right? Esau was out. He was hunting. He was a skillful hunter. He was on the field, and Jacob caught him when he was tired and when he was hungry. We see that in verse 29 to 34. Esau was tired, he was hungry, and he was short-sighted. He lacked desperation, or like we mentioned, intense eagerness. But Jacob had a great dissatisfaction and contentment with himself and a longing after God deep within. So remember, I'm bringing up this story. There's 1,000 messages that can come from the story of Jacob and Esau. But I'm specifically talking about that intense eagerness that Esau traded in that belonged to the Lord for something that was short-sighted. And that Jacob, even though deceiving him and being sinful and a crooked man, never lost his need to be satisfied by the Lord. So like children, we have to be longing for the Lord constantly. We see this in Genesis, a little bit further. In Genesis 32, we read that Jacob wrestled God. You see, Jacob went from wrestling Esau by tricking him to wrestling God. And for worst or best, we see a man desperate for the presence of God. See, Esau's greatest sin was not actually a sin, but that he was in dissatisfaction of what he had, or he was in satisfaction of what he had. And the difference between him and Jacob was that Jacob was never satisfied. We read this in 32, verse 24 to 32. Then Jacob was left alone, and a man wrestled with him until the day of the breaking of day. Now when he saw that he did not prevail against him, he touched the socket of his hip, and the socket of Jacob's hip was out of joint as he wrestled him. And he said, "Let me go, for the day breaks." But Jacob said, "I will not let you go unless you bless me." So he said to him, "What is your name?" And he said, "Jacob." And he said, "Your name shall no longer be Jacob, but Israel, because you have struggled with God and with man, and you have prevailed." You see, this is a story about Jacob's desperation to be blessed by the Lord. He was stubborn, he was resilient, and he wasn't willing to take no for an answer. How many of you are raising children like that? I am. Right? Jacob's encounter with God was the wrestling match of all wrestling matches. But that basically summed up Jacob's lifelong attitude towards God, as his name was changed to Israel, meaning that he contends with God. Once broken by God, Jacob ceased to become a supplanter and instead became the one who God strived for. A supplanter means a substitute, or to take the place of a substitute. And so you've got to understand this when I began to dive into what that word meant. You see, Jacob was not willing to be content with substitution. I'll tell you about a little story. Okay, so this happened around like 4 p.m. today. 4 p.m. today. I put 1 p.m., I put Noah, 3 p.m., somewhere around there, you know what I'm talking about. About like 1:47 p.m., I put my son to sleep for his nap, okay? I put him to sleep, and I go, and I'm worshiping and I'm praying, and my husband comes home, and he tells me, "You know, you keep worshiping, you keep praying. When Noah wakes up, I'm gonna go be with him." Now, normally, Noah will sleep about 3 hours for his nap. Now, around like hour and a half, he'll wake up. And he usually wakes up to just like touch somebody. And if you're there, he'll go back to sleep. So normally, he could come in, go to sleep, that's fine. Well, it was my day off today, right? And so I'm in the kitchen. And Noah can't see me. He doesn't even know if I'm here, maybe. And so Noah starts crying, and Edgar goes to the room. Now, Edgar realized very quickly that he was not having it, okay? Or for better word, he was not having him, okay? And so immediately, Edgar comes out and is just like, "He knows you're in the room. He knows you're home. He won't go to sleep." And so here I go. We get in bed. He goes to sleep. And so while I'm, you know, singing to him to go to sleep, the Lord just begins to talk to me. And as I'm reading it and even diving into this, the Lord just tells me, "See, he takes no substitution." Now, no offense to my husband, but my husband is second place when it comes to my son. And my son knew I was in the room. He knew I was in the house. He was aware that I was home, that it was mommy's day off, and when daddy came to sit with him, he wasn't having it. And so this is the type of childlike encounter you and I need to have. We need to be hungry, we need to be obedient, we need to be humble, and we need to have a heart that is not settled with substitution. The Lord's presence only. You see, God is in the room, and he wants to encounter you and I. Even going a little more on Jacob, if we go to Jacob 28, that's silly. Genesis 28. And we read, that is blasphemy, I'm sorry, I repent, Lord. We read here in 12, "Then he dreamt, and behold, a ladder was set up on the earth, and its top reached the heavens. And there was the angels of God ascending and descending on it. And behold, the Lord stood above it and said, 'I am the Lord God of Abraham, your father, and the God of Isaac, the land on which you lie. And I will give you and your descendants. Also your descendants shall be the dust of earth, and you shall spread abroad to the west and the east.' to the north and the south, and in you and in your seed of all your families of the earth shall be blessed. Behold, I am with you and will keep you wherever you go and will bring you back to this land, for I will not leave you until I have done what I have spoken to you. Then Jacob woke up from his sleep, and he said, surely the Lord is in this place, and I did not know it. And he was afraid and said, how awesome is this place? There is none other than the house of God. This is the gate of heaven. He said, surely the Lord was in this place, and I did not know that this is the gate of heaven. This is childlike spiritual experience that Jacob experienced. He became aware that the presence of God was in the room. And remember, that's chapter 28. So when he got to chapter 32 and he began to wrestle with God, he was not satisfied with anything less than a physical encounter with God. He didn't want to be dreaming. He wanted to be in the room, and he was willing to take no substitutions. So if you and I take a look around in the room right now, the Lord is in this moment. There was a moment when I was doing, I'm going to end right now because I don't have much, I don't have anything else to say. But there was a moment I was in worship when Noah used to let me hold him, because he doesn't let me hold him anymore. And now he's running around. But there was a moment in worship when I used to hold him. And I remember just, you know, being at the altar and just worshiping. And Noah would say, Dad! Dad! Now, Edgar was not in sight. I don't even think he started saying dad yet. But it didn't matter to me, because in that moment, I felt a quickening in my spirit. The Lord was in the room. He wasn't talking about Edgar. He was talking about the Lord. And he had an encounter and a quickening to my spirit, a confirmation in my spirit that Noah knew that Daddy was in the room. He had an awareness of that. And my child won't let me forget that. So now when I hear him yell for him, I'm like, man, you got big shoes to fill. Because the first dad he named was the Lord. And he recognized that the Lord was in the room. And you and I, as children, we have to recognize that the Lord is in the room. You see, I'm so glad that I gave my life to the Lord when I was her age, because I'm not so sure I would have done it as a teenager. There's a fear of man and a fear of things and a fear of things that you've got to get rid of and things you have to move, you have to give up. And we struggle so much looking from what's behind, all the things that you lose. Oh, but what will you gain? Right? What will you gain? I struggle as a teenager thinking, what will they think? Your hand becomes so heavy when the altar call comes on. Like, oh, get it up there, you know, like, so get it up there. Your hand gets so heavy, but the word says that if you deny me, I will deny you. And that's a real, real feeling. And I'm so glad that I gave my life to the Lord at such a young age, and I got to experience and encounter him as a child before anything began to grip me, because I always knew as those things were gripping me that the Lord, I had encountered the Lord, or I was crazy. One of those. I encountered the Lord, or I needed a mental institution. And so I'm going with the latter, okay, with the former, that I encountered the Lord as a child, even when it came to speaking in tongues. I don't remember speaking in tongues. I just remember a Sunday school teacher telling me, hey, you were speaking in tongues. And I was like, cool, I don't know what that means. Two thumbs up, let's go. And that was when Pastor Maria was one of our teachers, and she created this thing called the secret place. And we would go underneath this little tent, and we would just worship. So that was my experience of being filled with the Holy Spirit, was because adults made access for childlike faith. But we need to make access in our services for us to be children, to be okay. The first thing children do when they come over my house or anyone's house, they do what? Take off their shoes. The clothes go next, but I'm not asking for that. Keep your clothes on, okay? Keep your clothes on, everybody. But when my nieces and nephews come over, the jacket's in the corner, the shoes can't be found, forget the socks, you're never finding them again. You know, they let themselves free and live in freedom and go, and some of us are so incredibly bound up and tight. Ooh, I felt that, right? We're so tight. Chill out. Let the children lead us in worship. Let the children preach the word because they have something to say. There's no little Holy Spirit. There's the Holy Spirit. And he lives in every one of us, regardless of age. Amen. So as we're encountering the Lord this year and we're asking to encounter him in a new and a different and refreshing way, really just look down at these 3 foot, 4 foot, 2 foot kids, right? I don't know if you're... Sorry if you're a little dude or a little girl. If you're a little adult, I'm sorry. But 3 foot, 4 foot, just take a look at them because they got the goods. They don't care what you think, okay? They have no fear of what someone's going to say about them. They don't care about looking goofy. I mean, I got to have 2 cents right now to put on I Thank God and just let them lead us in because they got the stuff. They know what's going on. So when you're in worship and you're looking, look at our children. Look at how the Lord illuminates in their life through worship. How they're hungry for God. How they're thirsty for the Lord. And we ought to make that our exampleship because that's what Jesus said. Jesus said to look at these little children. Amen.